Hey there, folks. I'm glad you tuned in. I'm David Lodge, the voice of Jiraiya, the pervy toad sage, Kenpachi, the dragon from Dragon Dogma. I am the dragon. Here I am, proud to be part of the show called Two Dads Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to Two Dads and a Podcast.
The podcast.
Now, we are on the next episode. What's up? So we are going to be talking everything nerd, and today we take on the first half, well, I guess kind of the first third of the great video game console war of 2006.
The generation of one of the biggest generations of console gaming. There was a huge evolution in technology and just what you got in video games from the beginning of the seventh generation to the end of it. It was crazy how much it grew.
I was thinking about this so much today. So, you know, 2006, you got three systems coming out, all right? For the first time, like you said, take this newest generation away, because I think this might be a bigger jump in technology. But this is the biggest jump in technology you had ever seen. And it was even a 100%. Bigger jump than PS3 to PS4 or Xbox 360 to Xbox One. Like, this was even a bigger jump than that in technology.
Well, yeah, I mean, you from PS3 to PS4, they were still using Blu-ray, so that didn't change. You know, from the end of the PS3 to PS4 generation, there were games that came out on both consoles that ran perfectly fine on both. So there was that big tech jump from, what was it, 2006 to 2014, I think, is when the PS4 came out. You know, you had that 8-year span, and what you had at the beginning and the end of that, you almost couldn't tell they were on the same console.
And to be honest, like, this was a release of firsts. You know, like you said, it was the first console to have Blu-ray. It was the first console to have just this crazy motion sensing controller that was just out of left field. What the fuck?
Oh, yeah.
This was the most powerful processor at HD resolution. And also, this is when you started to see price increases like you've never seen before.
Oh, yeah. So if you haven't guessed, we're talking PS3. We're talking PS3. So we're starting off this generation.
That's the one we're focusing on today, for sure.
With this episode. And it's not necessarily because we feel it's the best. It's not because we feel it's the worst. It's, you know, this was the last of the three that I had, that I, bought. And so I had kind of the least experience with the games in comparison to the other ones. But,
I was sort of the same way, although I had longer with it, because I bought the 360 first, right when it released, and then I think about 3 to 4 years later, I got the PS3, and I had it for the rest of the, you know, so I jumped in, I'd say about halfway in to its run, so I got a good amount of use out of it, and I got to experience a lot of the great games that were released, but this was where consoles just fucking changed, man.
Oh, yeah.
They took, I would say, 180, contrary to the name Xbox went with. Because Xbox is like, how do we make this better? Well, let's
give it a weird ass name. And then, you know, never the have a consistent naming system ever again.
The consoles took a complete 180. You know, they went in a completely different direction. And it was crazy. So you had this. I was thinking about it before when they released the slim model and then like the super slim model.
Oh man, the super slim was garbage. Let's be honest. Slim was terrible. That slide top was so bad.
It felt like a money grab, but at the same time, they were
they kept condensing and condensing the system too.
It made sense because they're just, it's like, why 4 years later, why would we release a next gen console? We can just do an upgraded version of the original. Let's wait till we can do some actual huge changes before we drop a next gen.
There was still so much potential on the systems. I mean, by the end of the PlayStation 3, you had games starting to look super realistic, crazy good physics. You know, it went from the beginning of it where you had games like, what was it, Uncharted 1 that still felt almost like a PS2 game.
Yeah.
You know, and these kind of more isometric and blocky and lots of polygon kind of games into the generation of true high definition. It was just this crazy jump. So they, again, like you said, why release a brand new console when there's still so much potential of these old, the ones that are currently out? And that's why it lasted, you know, 8 years before a new one came out. I mean, that's a long generation.
They sort of did the same thing this time around. I mean, it was close to 7 years this time around. And it's just, you know, we can release updated versions because what's the point of doing just a slightly better and call that the next gen? Let's wait till we get all the technology advancements and just do like something completely new for the next gen. And when you think about these consoles, these are the consoles where all of your favorite games from today got their start or discovered who they were.
Oh, 100%.
Every single one.
It's the console where you had games like Oblivion and Skyrim came out. You know, they're still releasing new versions of Skyrim.
You have the BioShock games and the Mass Effects and your Little Big Planet.
Oh, yeah. Into the exclusives, you had, you know, Uncharted 1 through 3. You had God of War 3. You had a ton of Ratchet and Clank games. You know, like you said, Little Big Planet, you had a couple of those games. The Infamous series started here. You know, Killzone, Heavy Rain. There's so many exclusives to the PlayStation 3.
You got your Dark Souls and your Dead Space. Mm-hmm. Metal Gear Solid. Oh, man, Gear
Dead
Solid.
Space was so good.
Red Dead Redemption got its start, and you just have the video games that everybody loves as you know them. I mean, this is where it started. This is where it all came to fruition, and it really it set the tone for everything we have now, everything we expect now, everything we look for in games. It feels like they really zoned in, and they had enough parity within the games to define what gaming is today.
100%. And, you know, this generation, too, it kind of had a rocky start for the PlayStation 3, and it came in because the price point was so high in comparison to what the Wii that was already available and the Xbox 360 that came out.
And this is where they really, what we expect today from all consoles, the PS3 came out with two different price points, two different systems. You had the
60 gig and the 20 gig.
And the 20 gig. You had Blu-ray on this and just regular disc drive on that.
No, it was, I mean, this one had Blu-ray on across all PS3s. And that's part of why the cost was so expensive, because Blu-ray back then was pricey. And all the way up,
DVDs were still $30 a pop, you know?
You know, well, at the time when the PS3 came out, it was the strongest and best Blu-ray player on the market. And it was priced as such. It was I mean, if you look at Blu-ray players back from that time, they were a few hundred bucks for a Blu-ray player because it was such a new technology. And so this had that, you know, brand new Blu-ray player built in, and it had backwards compatibility, which at the time, you know, Xbox 360 kind of did it with Xbox games, but not every game worked, and some of them were a little buggy.
Xbox game had what were the two letters? If it had the two letters on it, it meant that game was backwards compatible. Yeah,
something like that. And it was hit and miss depending on which ones. You just kind of had to pop them in and test them at the time. Now we've got full lists. But that was part of the cost, too, was that backwards compatibility for PS2. It literally, the reason it was so goddamn bulky is it had a PS2 inside of it, you know, pretty much. I don't know the ins and outs of it overall, but it essentially was a PS2 and a PS3.
Motherfucker was doing a lot.
Yeah.
It was doing a lot for you. And it had one of the strongest processors.
And
that you got in the system.
With all of that and that price point, it actually kind of hurt the PS3
for a while.
And it was mainly like Xbox 360 won that generation between PS3 and 360. However, the Wii sold the most units out of the three during that time period. But Man, as we've talked about in the past, Nintendo
never fucking dies.
They kind of created their own generation. They come out in between the other. Like, I don't know.
It was smart. Yeah. But, I mean, this system went on to sell over 80 million.
80 million units.
This release,
that's crazy.
It broke records, man. And while I think the new generation now will shatter so many records.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
For what this did, it was such a big step. And you know what? It wasn't all positive, because when you get into the system, you get into just politics and the business of video game companies versus video game distributors versus the consoles themselves, these brand names. You get these powerhouses popping up, EA Sports and fucking shit like that. And then you just start getting power grabs, you know, big corporations trying to take out the little guy or absorb them within themselves. And you get too much parity at some point, where back in the day, you know, you had your Call of Duty and you had your Medal of Honor, and they felt like two completely different shooter games. Well, now everybody wants that Call of Duty.
Feel the same. Yeah.
And so there ends up being what feels like a lack of creativity, but it took us in such a forward-thinking direction that now that it's become so affordable, accessible, and easy to create. I don't want to say easy. As in,
we'll air quote that. Air quote that.
Not easy to develop and create it, but like easy to get it made for consumption. That you're starting to get this rise of indie games again, like you used to back in the day.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Indie games now, and especially towards the end of that this generation, PS3 360, you started seeing a lot more of those indie games come out. In the last, you know, 5-6 years, there has been a huge jump in indie games, and some of them are some of the best games on the market.
And with the PlayStation, you got your first PlayStation Network. You know, you got your first sort of foray into what their social sort of connection was going to be like, and that developed into something great, and it's developing into streaming services and all this stuff that really helps the indie brand reach a more variety of audience.
Oh yeah, much larger audience than they could before. So,
and while the PlayStation Network compared to the Xbox
not as good, but you know, it still had that element. It was the start of in-game chat with this generation. It was the start of being able to message people instantly on the console itself, talk to each other, coordinate your gameplay. So it was a big jump. This whole generation was a huge jump in gaming. So now that we've kind of talked about the consoles a little bit, we've got to talk about some games.
Some of the games. Yeah. Let's go deeper into it.
So some of the biggest games on the console. And now, again, we're going to finish this off with our favorite games because, you know, that's what we do. It's not necessarily going to be the best games on the console. Just the games that
Let's clarify. Our favorite game is not the best game.
Pokemon Snap.
It's the one we love the most.
Pokemon Snap is coming out in April. I'm so fucking excited. All right. Anyway. So, you know, this is where we got an initial conclusion to the God of War series, God of War 3.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that game was fantastic. Kratos finally killed like the entire pantheon. He finally took down everybody, and he seemingly goes off to live peacefully. And, you know, that was an epic conclusion to this trilogy, and the depth that they were able to go into the game with the PS3 versus PS2 was huge.
Yeah.
Huge. You had games like Demon's Souls, which was the first. This was a console exclusive for PlayStation, and this was the first game that introduced us to what we now call our Souls games. Demon's Souls, Dark Souls, Bloodborne, you have Sekiro, you have so many different games that are like this now. It literally created its own genre around this style of gameplay, and it's incredible. Absolutely
they were
incredible.
Great games too, like fucking fantastic. You had just one-offs that were really cool, like L.A. Noire, that was sort of helping to pave the way for your other games, that were looking for that same sort of technology from Rockstar, which was within its same company, the Grand Theft Auto, a more open world where you find the game. You know, the game doesn't come to you. You have to go to the game.
Absolutely. You had kind of a little bit of a resurgence in good quality point and click adventure kind of games with Heavy Rain and what was the other one called? I can't even think of it now, but they've come out with quite a few games like that are there's not a whole lot of action. There was an entire studio that literally focused on this, but Heavy Rain brought them more to the light. And then you ended up with all these Telltale games that ended up getting more publicity because of one of those games doing so well.
Right.
You know,
and like the Telltale Walking Dead series was
so good. So good.
So good.
my favorite of those of the Telltale games has to be Wolf Among Us, though. That one was so good.
Yeah. You had like you had Assassin's Creed become what it is. You had BioShock become what it is.
BioShock so finding itself. Good.
You had like you said, Oblivion, all these games, Fallout, and all these games just that a lot of them existed previously on mostly PC, but they were discovering their voice and finding their potential within this system that could finally handle its world.
Consoles have always, you know, PC's always been a thing, and we could have literally 10 episodes just on PC by the year, you know,
right?
Because there's so much that comes out on PC, but consoles gave the average consumer a way to play video games without any setup, without any extra work. You put a disc in, you push the button, and you play.
You didn't have to know your alphabet, you just press the buttons.
Absolutely. And you know, and again, every generation we see these remakes and we see these extra things. You know, God of War, they came out with the collection, so they were up-resed and remastered HD versions of the God of War games.
The BioShock games just got remastered and re-released.
For the newer generations, you had Kingdom Hearts. We finally, you know, the West finally got the final mix versions, if you will, the remixes, the HD remixes that included more content, more boss, more stories, you know. So we got these fantastic games that really, you know, lifted what gaming was capable. So that leads us in, you know, I think we've talked enough about some of these games. What was your favorite PS3 game?
My favorite PS3 game, and I believe I've told this story before, I started playing Skyrim on the PS3 when it released. And obviously, you know how huge a fan I am of the Elder Scrolls series and the lore. And when Oblivion wrapped up, it was quite a while before they announced anything.
Four or five years?
Yeah. As soon as they announced the new game, I looked to our friend Adam. I said, $100, it's going to be Skyrim. And sure enough, it was fucking Skyrim. So I went and I logged 100 hours into this game on the PS3. Loving every minute of it.
And, Never finished.
You know, from my first experiences with Elder Scrolls 3, where you're not even thrust in the story, you're just dropped off.
You literally are dropped off of this boat, and it's like,
and so you just run around and do stuff.
Go.
So I'm still to this day with the Elder Scrolls games and the Fallout games in the mindset of run around and do stuff.
Yeah.
Do the side.
I mean, that's pretty much what it is. You can level play through up, the main
find
story.
The good weapons.
Like you can play through the main story in Skyrim in 2 hours.
Yeah.
But that's not the point of the game. That's not the point.
When I come in after all my side quests as super badass with all these cool armor and gear and level 100, like I'm going to breeze through that storyline now.
Oh,
yeah. It ain't going to take me 2 hours. This is going to be more like an hour and some change. So I do this, and this is like when the game first released and they had no patches done. And I got to a point where I'm like, okay, I'm going to start going through the main quest, get that pretty far in, and then do some more side quests later. And I get to this dungeon for the main quest, and I'd already explored this dungeon. I'm like, sweet, got this motherfucker. I'm gonna breeze through this. I got everything completed in this dungeon already. But it turns out
you couldn't trigger the last part of it
involves setting off a trap that I had already set off. I'd already done this dungeon.
And now, because now I will say they did off, fix that later on in some patches.
They did fix it later on. But at the time they hadn't. Okay? So my game was ruined. And so I started over. All right? I start over and I put another 100 fucking hours into this game. This time, avoiding I did not that make cave. That mistake. I went through the main quest. I got this shit. And I got past that point, and then I started doing side quests again. And then I, like I said, I logged another 100 hours in, and you know, I'm playing a different game before I decide I want to switch back to play Elder Scrolls. And my disk drive is broke, and the game I was playing is stuck in it, and it's not
Elder Scrolls. So I mean, all of this essentially leads us to his favorite game is The Last of Us.
So I bought a PS4 and a new version of Skyrim, and I logged 100 hours into it. And then what do I find on Walmart shelves? I find the complete PC collection of Elder Scrolls 1-5.
And I gotta start Elder Scrolls Anthology
over again. And so I'm on my fourth time going through this motherfucking game right now, and I haven't even beaten it once.
I've beat it once. I'll give it that. So
I have no idea. The most anticipated Elder Scrolls of my life, the one I was looking forward to, because I always the collector's play as edition. I'm always a Nord when I play, and I was excited for it, and I haven't even beaten it. So yours is The Last of Us?
No. So. We'll give some credit to The Last of Us as probably the best game on the console. Terms of storytelling, the gameplay. I mean, it won the most Game of the Year awards ever at the time when it came out. It was an incredible game, but I had to give my favorite. And mind you, my pool for favorite is smaller because I got the PS3 well after, you know, the generation was on the decline. I had a PS4 before I had a PS3. But before they remastered the game, before they came out with the HD version of it, I had to give my favorite to Ni No Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch.
Nice.
You know,
that's a great one.
Oh, Ghibli's fantastic 4A. Game. Oh, yeah. You know, Studio Ghibli, they stepped into the gaming world, and they did the art, they had music for it, and it was just a gorgeous overall game. And when I first started playing it, I'll admit, the combat I thought was terrible.
Right.
Like, when I first got into it, and then as I started kept playing a little bit more, and I put it down, and I came back to it a little bit later, and just everything about it was just absolutely wonderful. You know, the story, the music, the art, the combat as you level up and you get more stuff going on, it was much more engaging, much more enjoyable to play. Yeah. So,
you know, when that game first came out, I saw Ghibli video game sold.
Yeah, easily.
I'm getting it. I bought it as soon as it came out and started to play it. And immediately my wife took over.
Never
played that game again.
Oh man, well, it's out on the Switch now, the PS4, you know, so you have no excuses. Ni No Kuni 2 is fantastic. Well, I don't need
to play
it.
I've watched the gameplay. I've watched the game happen. I don't need to play it.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't get to play it.
So she played it. You did. Got it.
She was so excited when, like, she loved that game, and she was so excited when the new one came out. And we were so excited when the movie came out. Like,
oh yeah, they've created a full world around this. And the thing is, the Ni No Kuni world, both the first game, Ni No Kuni 2, and the movie, none of them have anything to do with each other. It's like Final Fantasy.
Yep.
but it keeps the same style, you know, that same, you know, alternate world and alternate beings, and you have a soul kind of in both worlds and a parallel. Like, I loved that process and the idea of that. And honestly, I'll be 100% honest, I still haven't finished Ni No Kuni 1. I've played Ni No Kuni 2 all the way up until like the final boss, and then I stopped because I was like, I want to do all the side quests. But everything about the game is just gorgeous. I love it. Honestly, it's one of those games that I could literally just start up, walk into an area, and sit there and listen to the music for a couple hours because it's so well done. And some of these games I find myself not completing almost because I don't want it to end.
I get that. Yeah.
You know, I've done that with a few different games where I literally get to the end of the game. I know it's the end. It's the final boss. And I stop playing because I don't want it to be over.
You know, so I like that. I like that pick of yours.
So really eventually I'll finish it. I'll finish Ni No Kuni 2. I'll finish, what was the other one? Xenoblade Chronicles 2. You know, I'll finish these games. But I kind of had to let them sit for a little bit. Let me marvel in just the journey I've had. And that's one thing that this game did so well, is it took you on this fantastical journey through all these different and unique areas and towns and peoples. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful game. And highly recommend any RPG fan play this. Studio Ghibli fan, play it, even if you're not a huge gamer. It is literally Studio Ghibli the game. And they did such a fantastic job with it. So,
and you know what? I love Pokemon Snap so much, when it comes out, I'm going to buy it, not even play it. How much I love it.
I'm so fucking hyped for that game. All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening.
You know, I'm coming over when you get it.
I'm gonna
be taking pictures in the background. Like,
you're going to be taking pictures of me taking pictures
of all the Pokemon. Yeah. I'm going to collect them all with my camera phone.
So, but thank you guys so much for listening. We will be continuing our console generation here in a couple weeks. And you can, of course, catch up on all the older ones. Find us wherever podcasts are found. You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Let us know what your favorite PS3 game is. You can catch us on YouTube.
Yes, let us know what your favorite PS3 game is, and I will tell you how wrong you are.
Fact.
Don't forget.
If it's not Ni No Kuni or Skyrim, you're wrong.
Right. If you're listening to the podcast version right now, don't forget we do a Twitch stream.
Twitch stream every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're just going to talk over each other for the next 5 minutes.
That's how we do things, okay?
But like us, follow us, subscribe to us, touch us, rate. What
was the last one?
Rate and review.
Come back with the last one.
Rate and review.
Okay. And
try to catch us live if you can.
We love all of you. Every single one.
Bye.